Thank you for downloading from the BBC. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
Hello, I'm Nina Robinson, and in this week's edition of Assignment, I'm reporting from Jamaica, where young athletes are coming under pressure as they set their sights on the Olympics in 2 years' time. So we're in the Jamaica's national stadium at the moment, and I'm here with the local coach, Donovan Traill, and there are many children here to race today.
Yes, they are from different parishes. It's a parish race.
So this is a national Jamaica-wide meet. And how many young athletes have come, and how old are they?
4,000.
Okay, wow.
About 4,000 athletes. These are from 7 to 16.
And we're just looking out onto the race track. It's a blazing hot day, but we're just underneath the little canopy area. They're getting ready to do a race now?
Yeah, it's like doing a 400 race. Boys are 16, 17.
They're standing in line, staggered on the corner, getting ready for the gun.
I'm Nina Robinson inside Jamaica's so-called Sprint Factory for Assignment on the BBC World Service. It's here that coaches are looking for the next generation of track and field stars.
So we're just looking at the front page of the national newspaper, and there's a photo of a young boy who's, the headline is, Jamaica's next sprint star, question mark.
He's 12 years old, but this boy, we are bidding to get this boy. Everybody want this boy. But this boy is good. This is a future Usain Bolt. It's a good boy. Everybody want this boy.
Intense pressure on junior athletes and highly competitive coaches are raising concerns over drugs in sport. I'll be finding out about awareness of anti-doping here and the debate going on now about whether to bring in official drugs testing at a younger age at the Boys and Girls Athletics Championships.
Wins. Wilmers is second, Monroe third, and Wilmers wins.
This high school event, known locally as Champs, gets international attention as the place to find future Olympic talent.
It's pandemonium in the stadium.
But its record-breaking times are also under the spotlight.
I think at the moment there are drug users amongst us, I believe so, and they should be tested at this level. The pressure is intense, a whole heap of pressure. Both coaches and athletes go under immense pressure. Persons who are alleged to be taking the stuff will stop taking the stuff as soon as the out-of-competition testing starts going very frequently.
It's not like you're burying your head, like the ostrich who buries his head in the sand and expect for the trouble to go away. It is going to get bigger and bigger as we bloom more and more track and field.
So in order to make it clean, to make it level and clean, I think it should be. Introducing drug testing would just clear the air.
Back in the National Stadium, the winners are announced to the latest sounds of the Black Eyed Peas. With confident bravado, it's a song about living life for the moment, as tonight's the night when everything is possible.
Track and field take off in Jamaica like a hot rock.
Has it always been like that, or yes, do you think that there has been even more significance being put on it since Usain Bolt?
Not really, but it was like this before. But Usain put up another notch, and it goes up another notch.
To get to this high point is not easy for young athletes. The hard work begins from an early age.
I'm Shantai Blake, S-H-A-N-T-I. I'm the assistant coach at St. Francis Primary School. They are between the age 4 to 11. In track and field, we try our best not to overwork them because, they're still young. And, you don't want to overwork them too much.
So what are they doing?
The jogging, the exercise, the drills. We normally start training from 2:30 and finish by 4. Pretty much every day. Every day. On Friday, except for Fridays. On Fridays, they're off. Unless we have a track meet on the weekends to get them ready for Saturday meets.
So how often are the meets?
Once track season starts, meets are held every weekend or every other weekend.
So what would you consider too much training?
For their age, when we see that they can't take enough, take no more. Once we see that they have had enough, we break.
Shantai himself was a former winner at Champs, so understands what junior athletes can go through.
There must be a lot of pressure on athletes as to reason why.
Well, in Jamaica, there's a lot of pressures on athletes in Jamaica.
Did you feel that?
Oh, trust me, I did. Sure did.
What's that like?
Well, it's not good. Tell you it's not good because that's one of the reasons why right now I am not in track and field anymore.
Why? What happened?
Well, at the junior championships, at the training, you know what I mean, they try to work us real hard, you know what I mean, and it's not a problem. But when we say that, you know, we have enough, let us be. I mean, don't try to pressure us to do this, to do that, and then you know within yourself that it's not right.
We are sensitive to the fact that there is pressure.
Dr. Patrice Charles Freeman heads the Jamaica Anti-Doping Commission, known as JADCO. They're the ones who would implement any decision to test athletes under the age of 15, which is currently the lowest age eligible for testing in Jamaica, as well as internationally.
We just recently added some junior athletes to our testing pools. I think we probably have, between all of the different sports, we probably have 10 junior athletes. It's a good thing because our athletes are doing very well. At a younger age. It's just that the better our athletes perform, when you look at a Usain Bolt and a Asafa Powell and a Veronica Campbell and a Shelly-Ann Fraser, when you look at those senior athletes, you know, they have a very, very big influence on our junior athletes, and everybody wants to run like Usain. And you have secondary school coaches visiting primary schools now, you know, trying to zone in on athletes at that very young age to see who has the potential. And they're literally trying to get, hey, come to my school. That's how competitive it has become. And so because of that, so we also have to do the same thing.
And she doesn't rule out asking to drug test a much younger athlete if she deems it necessary.
We have some very young swimmers right now that are up and coming and doing very well. We have some excellent track and field. I'm not sure if you were here for Boys and Girls Champs.
No,
but I mean, they're excelling at a rate that is phenomenal. And we have even our primary school champs that takes you into the 10 years. I mean, we have not tested anyone at that age, but I wouldn't rule it out.
But not everyone agrees.
I wouldn't want to have my 4-year-old have sex. Same way that I would not want a child of 11-year-old, 12-year-old to be tested because she's a high performer.
Colleen Montague is a school principal and heads the committee which organises CHAMPS.
The championship is an extension of our physical education programme.
She's in no doubt that testing at the event would be a violation of rights.
So it's a high school students who are under 18 for the most part. So we're not a professional organization. And so our children would be traumatized, I think, if we were to go into drug testing.
So I just want to carry on with what we were talking about at the National Stadium, you see.
All right. Once again, I'm Shantai Blake. We're at 28 Greenwich Park Road, right off Flinders Road.
As assistant coach Shantai switches off his phone, sitting on a colourful sofa in the small home he shares with his family, he tells me about his experience of drug testing as a junior athlete coming up. He was scouted and went to the US to train until he suffered injury.
2004, my career went smash because I started running for a track club there and my ligament, I actually pulled my ligament.
You've been through a drug testing procedure yourself as an athlete. What is it like?
I have never been through it because at that time when I was doing track and field, it wasn't in us yet.
Oh, so So you've never had to give a urine sample?
Never got to get a, no, didn't. Never had to. And sort of kind of I'm glad I never had to. Even though I know that I wasn't doing, you know, taking anything, I'm glad I didn't have to because from what my cousin told me, it's honestly, it's an embarrassment.
Why? What do you have to do?
It's an embarrassment, the simple fact that, you know, you get tested.
You have to wee in front, behind
a... in front of someone.
Behind a screen?
Yeah.
Behind a screen.
Mm-hmm. So they have a tin screen, and they see exactly what you're doing. And, you know, they do that because they, you know...
I mean, some people find it difficult enough to go to the toilet if, you know, mm-hmm. in a cubicle, and let
even
alone...
So, why they do that is because if they allow them to go to the bathroom, they could simple, okay, say they peed, and they can actually mix it with the water. I mean, because I actually... There is someone that I know that actually did it, so...
Who mixed it with water.
Mixed it with water, and then that came on negative. And he knowing it, so that he was actually taking it.
But those kinds of, you can't really cheat the system anymore. Like there is, it's no, so watertight nowadays.
They have actually got so equipped and so up to date right now that you can't fool them anymore.
The two big winners at the Junior National Meet today are 14-year-old Ronique Gray with overall champion for girls, and for boys is 12-year-old Rajay Ferron.
My name is Ronique Gray, I'm 14 years old, and I received the overall champion girl. And I also broke the record for the under-17 girls, which is 5.38.
My name is Rajay Ferron, I'm 12 years old, soon to be 13. And today I achieved many things. Competing with older guys, did not think I will do it, but I did it. I did a lot of training for the past few months.
What kind? How much training? Every day?
Yes, miss. 2-3 hours running the 100 and 200, breaking records. Well, I got a big future ahead of me.
I personally have identified Usain Bolt. I even have one here. He won the 400 meter. He's about 6'2", and he run at 13 years old. He's running 53.2 seconds. We have a Usain Bolt here at John Mills School.
Coach Spalling trains youngsters up to the age of 16 at John Mills School, located in inner city Kingston. His track record in producing winning athletes like girls champ Ronique Gray is the envy of other coaches.
Okay, we're going right now to the long jump area. That's an improvised area. Okay. Because we don't have a field, and this is basically where we do our sort of flexibility exercise and so forth on our jumps. We also use this area for the high jump.
So that's a long jump. In this place where we are?
Right.
So let's just describe this, because I thought this was like a car park area, because it's all concreted over and there are no like facilities. The only things that you have is a very old looking grey metal post. Looks like it could be used for football. And that's it.
Yes, but of course, because when you're in a deprived area and in the inner city, and you have to start from base, this is where now the hard work will comes in. Because they know to reach a herald to the top, they have to do master the fundamentals from that humble beginning.
With such poverty as a backdrop, it's unlikely that young athletes themselves could afford expensive performance-enhancing drugs. Suspicions are instead raised about coaches and doctors who work with high school teams.
Yes, you have heard persons saying when they saw the 10. I remember Michael Freighter, who is the brother of Lindell Freighter, when he ran 10.23. Persons were saying, wow, that's super fast. But at that time, I had the privilege to coach Michael Freighter's brother. So I know the work and I know the effort. So when I hear those speculations at that time, I say, hey, that's garbage, you know, because I know. And I don't know why persons would think like that. When they see an athlete at certain age running super fast, but it's hard work, I can tell you.
He dismisses rumours of doping at a junior level as being spread by his rivals.
Oh, well, we have a lot of hypocrites in the arena. I have had cases like that because they would say something with you and behind your back they're saying something different. So it's double standard. But that don't trouble me because I know my job, I know my objective, I know my aim, you understand? So that don't worry me because you always have rival. But in my category, the junior high and the primary category, they fear me because when they hear a John Mills, it's like the kids them are like, them good, you know. 16 years winning consistently. Oh, come on. We even beat a team from Canada, a combined team, 17 and 18-year-old from Canada the other day on the stadium, just 15-year-old. Can you imagine? They must develop a level of fear.
We're little buck with Talawa, no jugs on.
Hey, you don't have to be high to reach out and touch the sky and do all you want to.
Educating junior athletes and coaches on anti-doping is a priority for Patrice and her team at JADCO, which produced this song sent out to schools called No Dope.
To be honest with you, as the executive director of JADCO, I think it's more important to push an educational program for junior athletes rather than a testing program. If we can get in and teach a non-doping culture at that early age and, you know, teach them the consequences of doping, what can happen, the moral side of it, the ethical side of doping, then we wouldn't have to test.
But how far is the anti-doping message getting through to the young stars of track and field? Talking to 14-year-old Renique Gray, the champion at the National Stadium meet, it becomes apparent that her knowledge of performance-enhancing drugs is limited.
I don't know the other things are involved, but smoking is one of the drugs, tasting, and drinking.
What, smoking like marijuana?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want to be tested at age 14. How would you feel if somebody said to you that you had to take a drug test?
It's unfair senior athletes, not for the junior athletes.
I can tell you that 99.99% of these kids don't care what they eat, what they drink, whatever. And they're the ones that will grow in ignorance. Name is Michael Clark. I've been coaching them for the last 30 years. I've coached at all levels, high school and seniors. I've been going to the Olympics, World Games. I have won the National Boys High School and Girls Championship 10 times, so I'm regarded as one of the most successful ones. Education about what to ingest as against what not to ingest, I think is very limited because so much is taken for granted.
Like, you know, what's taken for granted?
That they can eat anything, drink anything, without thinking that it's bad for them or think that they are violating some anti-doping rule or something.
So what are the things that you see your athletes eating that and drinking that you think that would pose a danger if they were to go on to the next level?
As a simple thing as a over-the-counter medicine for a cough or for a cold or for fever that has antihistamines or some other chemical that is on the banned list. And they see it as being normal. Yet if you go at the next level, like at the World Junior Meet, and they take this, they're going to be drug tested and it is going to be discovered.
I managed to catch the experienced coach Michael Clark as he meticulously noted down race times on his stopwatch at the National Stadium. He's been leading the debate on whether to bring in drug tests, which he hopes will raise awareness of the problems he's seeing on the junior athletic circuit.
What I'm concerned about is these new energy drink. You know, most of them are caffeine strong and there are controls, there are IF controls as to how much caffeine can be hit in the body at any one point to be considered as a stimulant or not a stimulant.
Shantai Blake also thinks that the lack of knowledge among juniors of what substances can bring back positive test results, including energy drinks and prescription drugs, is the real concern.
Because, and I mean, my cousin, who is also a Jamaican athlete right now, Ewan Blake, he was tested last year at the Junior Championship. You know what I mean? Because of that, he didn't run. So, and he had just come out of high school.
So why didn't he run?
Because he was tested. He was put out the camp because he was on the list of people who was taking drugs.
So how did it happen?
So honestly, I really don't know. A lot of times, you know, they get prescribed things from doctors and they're not knowing what it is, and they take it, not knowing that it's a drug that actually boosts their energies.
So the education awareness is not really there?
Basically, it's not.
We do have approximately 2 to 3 workshops a week.
The priority for Patrice at JADCO this year is to increase education of juniors to prevent positive results coming back out of ignorance. But is there still a need to test juniors at champs?
It's something that I think now that I see the love that Boys and Girls Champs... You see, Boys and Girls Champs is like a feeder into Junior World Championships. And so one of the reasons why we didn't test at Boys and Girls Champs is because we anticipated testing at the Junior National Trials. Will I test next year at Boys and Girls Champs? Really, I have to look at the situation, look at our budget.
At $250 to $300 US dollars per test, cost is a big factor.
I don't want to go double, you know, and because it's the athletes that actually perform at the national trials are the ones that are in the top field. We have to take into consideration, first and foremost, our resources. We have to, you know, prioritize our testing plan.
But there are a number of coaches I spoke to who thought it might be money well spent. Others said there are better ways to spend government money in scarce supply.
You know, to test all of these youngsters, I don't know where the money is going to come from. However, if they use that, all of those money to feed the athletes and so forth, that is way that, yeah, better.
That's, so you think that money is better to provide nutrition?
Nutrition for the youngsters.
I best spend it on the children, because things is rough in this country. It is as simple as that. Feed the children.
It is money worth spending.
I think so, because it saves emotional trauma. It saves the country from suffering against their national pride. And it saves the cost and the bad examples being the thought that all Jamaicans are cheats.
Test them? No younger than 17. 17 and up, but no younger than 17.
Why do you say 17?
Because at that age, you're at 17, you're more aware of the things that goes on around you. At 15, someone give you something. If your coach said, okay, take this, you're not going to ask any question because he's your coach, so you're going to take it. At 17 now, you know, someone say, okay, take this. You're going to ask, okay, what is this for? I mean, you're going to ask questions. But at 16, 15, 14, you're not going to ask any questions.
Teaching juniors about the world of doping is key in maintaining Jamaica's reputation as a clean athletic powerhouse. But the records being broken at an ever younger age are raising eyebrows. The system is under pressure to find the next Usain Bolt, and the hopes of a nation are resting on the shoulders of children, fiercely fought over by coaches, all looking to repeat the success of Beijing in London and beyond.
There are dozens of different podcasts now available from the BBC, including news, documentaries, science, business, arts and sport. The details of them all, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.